Hey everyone, this is Eliza D, and welcome back for another episode of How to Save the Planet, a show where we interview people who have jobs in climate change or environment. Now, let's get started. With us today, we have Dan Bingham. Dan earned his bachelor's and master's degrees in wildlife biology from the University of Montana. Dan is currently working as a fisheries biologist with Cramer Fish Sciences, where he specializes in applied ecology and population genetics. Prior to working for Cramer, he served as a founding partner at Rogue Biological Consulting in Portland, Oregon, where he helped tribes and government agencies meet natural resources management goals. Dan also spent several years as a fisheries biologist with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the U.S. Forest Service, where his work focused on conservation challenges facing Pacific salmon. He has authored numerous scientific journal articles focused on the application of science in natural resources management. Dan has served as the president of the Northwest Association of the Environmental Professionals since 2018. Hello and welcome, Dan, to How to Save the Planet.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Yes, thank you for being here. So what do you do and where do you work?
I am a fisheries biologist with a consulting company called Cramer Fish Sciences. Our headquarters is located in Portland, Oregon, but we have a few different offices across the West Coast.
Cool. What got you interested in the work that you do?
That's a great question. I think from the time I was a young kid growing up in New Jersey, I was fortunate enough to have a family who was interested in getting us kids outside and playing in the woods and camping and things like that. So I think from a very young age, I had opportunities to kind of immerse myself in the natural world, where I learned to value, healthy natural resources, at a very basic level. And so I think that's where it started. And then when I went to college at the University of Montana, I had a roommate who was very avid into fly fishing, and he taught me how to fly fish. And so, I spent a lot of free time escaping out into the wilderness, trying to find great places to go fishing. And I think that is kind of where the inspiration to kind of specify and go into fisheries in particular was kind of cultivated.
Cool. That seems to be a trend that a lot of the environmental professionals that I talk to have really gotten a chance to be outside a lot of their childhood, and so they really gained appreciation for the natural world.
Yeah.
Why do you do this work that you do around fisheries science? What keeps you going?
That's a great question. I would say that it's deeply innate to who I am. So from my core being, I really value and am passionate about conservation of the natural world. So at the end of the day, I'm just doing what I love to do. And so, just having that drive to want to make the world a better place, I think is what keeps me going.
Cool. Yeah. Could you tell us what degrees you have and where you went to school? Was it just a Montana university or university in Montana? Or?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think I'll back up a little bit and start with high school. So when I was in high school, I was fortunate enough to have access to a vocational program that was called the Marine Academy of Technology and Environmental Science. And that was in the town I grew up, Toms River, New Jersey. And basically it was kind of a secondary high school that was available to kids who were interested in environmental science. And so my junior year in high school, I was able to go part-time to an environmental science high school. So that's kind of where I got started. And then Like I said, I'd always been interested in nature and immersing myself in the natural world. And so after high school, I decided to go to the University of Montana because they had an excellent wildlife biology program. And because Montana is such a fantastic place to go if you want to immerse yourself in nature. And that's right. So I earned my bachelor's degree in wildlife biology. And then after graduating, I was offered a research assistant program with a professor at the University of Montana, Dr. Fred Allendorf. He was a genetics, he specialized in genetics, conservation genetics, and he offered me a graduate research assistantship. And so I went from my undergrad in wildlife biology to earning my master's. So that's kind of the long of the short of my education.
Cool. That seems like a really valuable experience to have the research apprenticeship and you're doing your master's.
Yeah, absolutely. I would encourage anybody interested in getting into the sciences or into natural resources to, at least get some experience on the research side so that you can gain an understanding of where the information we're using and applying in the real world comes from. So that doesn't mean that, research is the only way to conserve natural resources, but it just helps you to understand how we learn about the world. So yeah.
Yeah, cool. How did you get the position that you have now at Kramer?
That's a great question. I can't really put my finger on any one thing that I was doing or that I encountered in my career, but I would say it's more of a practice that if you're passionate about something like natural resources or science, and applying that to, in the case of this podcast, climate change, you need to develop a practice for yourself that supports and cultivates the causes and conditions of a career. And so what I mean by that is things like volunteering, for example, let's say you decide to go to college, volunteering with a professor or with a graduate student and really immersing yourself in the opportunities that are there, to gain very fundamental skills and just kind of building on that and always making sure to follow, kind of follow your gut, in terms of the directions you go. And staying focused, surrounding yourself with people who are also interested in what you do, getting involved in professional organizations. So you mentioned, we'll talk about that shortly, the National Association of Environmental Professionals, but that's an example of a professional organization that can really provide opportunities that you wouldn't normally come across. So I would say volunteering and getting involved is really as important as your education, because you need to surround yourself with, people who are also interested in advancing their careers. And so I think it was a long-winded way of answering your question.
Yeah, just surround yourself with people who are inspired by the thing, by the same thing that you are.
Exactly. Yeah.
What does climate justice mean to you and Kramer Fish Sciences and your fishery sciences work?
That's a great question. I think climate justice in particular really takes a different view of an important and needed perspective and view of the climate crisis that we're facing. It's easy to look at climate change from a scientific perspective, and to analyze the data and to understand the trends and to make predictions about where we might find ourselves in the future. And if you juxtapose that climate science with climate justice, I think it kind of really rounds out the perspective and shows why it is that we're doing what we're doing. And so oftentimes I think if you look back through history and even up to now, you'll find that a lot of the problems that climate change is causing really disproportionately affect people who do not necessarily have the means to do much about the climate crisis. And so I think climate justice is really understanding that we as humans are co-creating the issue of climate change with the people in our community, and that there are people who are disproportionately affected by that. And so I think climate justice is really the grounding force and the reason why we practice climate science. So I would say that's what climate justice means to me.
Yeah, climate change disproportionately affects people of color and minority communities and around the world. I think that what you said really rings true.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about your time leading the Northwest Association of Environmental Professionals?
Yeah, so I've been involved with NWAEP since I believe it was either 2017 or 18 when I ran for the vice president position. And so I served as vice president for, I believe it was a year and a half. And then I ran for president and I've been serving as president since last year, I believe. And prior to joining NWAEP, I also served on the board of directors for the Oregon chapter of the American Fisheries Society. And I think that's important to mention because earlier in the podcast, I described how getting involved and creating a practice for yourself mm-hmm. is important. And so I think kind of providing some context to listeners to see as an example of what I mean by that. So basically just getting in the practice of being involved, I think is really important in terms of, you know, making progress in your career and then also, you know, making progress in terms of getting involved with others who are interested in helping to solve issues like climate change. Mm-hmm. So yeah, and just to summarize what it is that we do. So we're a professional organization. And our main goals are to advance the needs of our membership. And our membership generally consists of folks involved in environmental science. So a lot of people in STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. And recently we've really focused on advancing our diversity, equity, and inclusion aspect of the organization. So and what that looks like now is development of DEI scholarships. And also donations to DEI organizations that are involved in the environmental sciences. So how we raise money for that is through educational webinars and events. And so we'll host, for example, a webinar on habitat restoration for fish. And there will be a fee associated with that, and that fee we then donate to different organizations that are focused on diversity, equity, and inclusion in the arena of environmental science. So that's kind of a quick high-level perspective on what it is we do at NWAEP.
Yeah, cool. That sounds like a really fun organization to be a part of, and like it's doing some really great work and supporting its members in the general environmental science community.
Yeah, absolutely.
What advice could you give to people who want to go into fishery science and fish genetics and environmental science in general?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, I would say the first thing that's important is having that deeper knowing that being involved and working with natural resources conservation is what you want to do, you know, because that is going to be kind of the compass and the drive that keeps you involved and wanting to show up as, you know, as a professional in that field. In terms of advice, I would say volunteering is probably one of the most important things that you could do because it gets you both the experience needed to gain the skills that are important for a career in the environmental sciences. And also it gets you in front of people who are also passionate about environmental science. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the education is important and you know, getting the degrees and those kinds of things, I would never say that those aren't important, but really I would say having the drive to, you know, donate your time and volunteer to get the experience and to give back to, you know, the resources is very important, so.
Yeah. What encouragement or hopeful thoughts could you give to our listeners on making a difference in this climate crisis that seems so big?
That's a great question. And, you know, sometimes the challenges that we face, especially around climate change, can feel overwhelming. But I would encourage people to, you know, consider the small victories and the small personal efforts that we can make as vital to solving the problem. You know, I think fighting climate change really starts at home, you know, with personal practices. Mm-hmm. You know, very simple things at home can really accumulate and can rub off on those around us and inspire other people to take action. You know, people are always watching, and you know, any small action you can take, you know, people will notice and hopefully take a hint and kind of replicate those good practices. So I would say don't get discouraged.
Yeah, it sometimes seems hard to, but those small victories you said are really important.
Right.
Thank you so much for coming on to How to Save the Planet. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Eliza. My pleasure.
Thanks so much, everyone, for joining us today for another episode of How to Save the Planet. See you next time.